but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Portland State has at Eastern Washington on Saturday. This is a 4 o'clock kickoff in Chaney, Washington. Here to talk about it, as he is every week, Bruce Barnum, Portland State football coach. You are coming off a loss to Northern Arizona. What'd you learn in that game?
We didn't make mistakes, believe it or not, John. We actually, first off, thanks for having us. We actually got better. We got better. I mean, who we are right now, we're young. I mean, Crew Newman, our last fourth down, which we didn't convert, but I called Crew's number, you know, and I grabbed him after the game. I said, listen, Crew, I said, you're a pup. I said, what did I tell you after North Dakota when you fumbled that kickoff return? He said, you're going to keep calling my number. So I said, all right. Did I call your number there? He goes, yeah. And I'm not putting this on Crew. I'm just saying he's young and he's learning right now. I'm calling his number because he is good enough. He's better than the competition. I'm not throwing him under the bus. I said, I'm going to keep doing it, though. I'm going to keep calling your number. Here's what you have to fix on that route, and we'll be fine. So let's just show you how we're young. We're banged up. But you know what? The team we're coming up against, I think, can say the same thing. So keep watching the Vikes. We'll get some dubs for you.
We are trying to figure out, you know, the Big Sky Conference. So you got Northern Arizona last week. They beat you 31-17. You're at Eastern Washington this week. There's a lot of games left on the schedule. What's the psyche in your locker room? Are the guys still engaged and locked in?
They are. From everything my captains and what I see in our team meetings and, you know, when you're 0-5, John, it's out there, you know. I told them, shut out the noise from outside. I'm sure you're hearing it. And I said, but trust the guy playing next to you. Trust the system and let's go. You guys are playing well each week, playing better each week. And winning's not easy. You know, I brought it to life a little bit. I said, if it was easy, everybody's doing it. I mean, all the cliches, but I also told them, if you don't quit on your team, don't quit on your locker room. That's the discussion I had, because if you do, you'll quit the rest of your life. That's just my opinion on what this game teaches. And they're learning it right now.
The offense, you had 20 first downs. You moved the ball well. You averaged almost 5 yards a carry on the ground. Defensively, you guys had some problems with Northern Arizona. What is Eastern Washington going to see on film that they like?
Well, the first half, our defense struggled, period. Tackling was a big thing. And, you know, if you watch it, I'm glad they regrouped. They didn't make them punt in the first half. We didn't make them punt. But if you look at it, there were three third downs, John. Three third downs that they won on and we didn't. Come up with one of those stops, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You can click over to offense also. We had two fourth downs that we did not convert. So those five plays Northern Arizona beat us on, you know. So we're doing the right thing. We're getting better, but now it's time to start making plays.
Are you at a must-win part of your schedule with this game with Eastern Washington and you're looking for a win? You need something to hold up to the guys. Can you have that conversation with your team? Can you say this is a must-win game, or is that something you shy away from?
I do. I don't know if it's right or wrong, but, I mean, I wasn't going to say this, but it's kind of private, but we made it a flag game. You know, one a year, I call out a flag game, and it's a must-win. That's what it means. So, and all I'm trying to do is get them to cross the T's, dot the I's, act like you're 5-0, you know, and don't work longer, maybe work smarter, and make sure we're not making the same mistakes. We're like a damn bird trying to crack out of that shell. We need to crack it. As soon as we do, they'll see some light, and they'll say, all right, you know, getting a little momentum going into the next week.
Well, you've got some games coming that I think, you know, obviously you got behind you all these payday games. Northern Arizona, a ranked team that you just played. It's probably nice to not see a ranked team as you get off the bus this week. But I want to ask you a little bit about special teams because, you know, we've talked on today's show about Oregon State's struggles in special teams. They're not, you know, they're, I think, fundamentally having some breakdowns and you know, but you tell me, you're a coach. You spend a lot of time on offense and defense. How much of a priority do you need to make special teams during a practice?
Well, yeah. When I was younger, I didn't think, you know, I'm like, all right, that's not a third of the game, you know, and that's the argument. But now, and as I get older, I don't know if you call it wisdom or making too many mistakes. Well, I made a mistake at Oregon State, you know. There was a while back we played down there.
Yeah.
And we missed – I had a – I in the off season, kind of said, all right, you know, kicker, you know, the whole deal. I didn't put enough money into that part of our team. And I'll tell you what, I found out right there, we missed PATs, we missed field goals. It cost me. I haven't done it since that day. Now I've got a punter, I got a backup punter, I got a kicker, I got a backup kicker, I got a long snapper and two backup long snappers. So, and we spend time at it to practice. I asked the special teams coach what he needs. He's very efficient, Robbie Houck, and we go 2 10-minute periods, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then we go a straight 25-minute period on Thursday. So it is part of the game. You can't ignore it. Make sure you're on point.
When you see a breakdown that is a fundamental thing, I have to think that that's a fixable thing. And most times I think, you know, I'm watching Oregon State, for example, and I don't need you to talk about them specifically because you probably haven't seen it, but they're having some breakdowns where, you know, it's a simple thing on your field goal team. Everybody's blocking down. Everybody, you know, you make the defense take the longest route to the kick. You know, you get in the way. And so when you have a breakdown like that, is that a fixable thing that you can address in practice, prioritize in practice? You tell me.
Well, I think every coach faces it. And I don't know, Trent. I know his dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know for that reason, he's number one, probably punching a wall, and number two, addressing it. But what we've done, I can't speak for Oregon State. What I did started many moons ago, we will go right after stretch, warm up, et cetera. We put our field goal block team out there, and we go live. Just a few kicks, and you know, the old liner, get my back loose. I got my right leg. I need some ice. Hey, can you take me up? But we throw them in there, and it's live. And we challenge our defense to block it because, again, it goes back to points. And it's just a quick, maybe 2 to 5 kicks, and boom, we move on to the rest of practice. But I do that with there. I do that with that and punt, because I can't. Knock on wood, I can't get a punt block. That's every coach's nightmare. But those two things can be somebody else's points or cost us points. So that's an emphasis for me.
Yeah, you've got Robbie Houck as your special teams coach. That is the son of Montana coach Bobby Houck. You've seen your own kid, playing on another team, and there's all this weird stuff going on in the Big Sky. What is that like to have that guy's son on your staff?
You know, I know he has a great resource. His dad is a special teams guy.
Yeah.
You know, that's why he probably moved up in the ranks, because I know who's checking all this stuff early on. He's
right?
On his own now.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, you can watch film. You can punch up each other's film. And that was part of that. And I know what they do on special teams. He said my youngest Cooper played over there, and he was part of, he was on their punt return team, and they scored a lot of points when he was on. I mean, it was pride for him. So it's fun to watch him do that over there too. So The mix and match, that's why I did it. I mean, I knew the guy's on point. He was older than most seniors that graduate, so I hired him on.
So tell me with this, because sometimes when you have a punt team that scores a touchdown or a kickoff return team that gets a touchdown, you can kind of see the belief in that unit that they can see what they can do in a game. They know they can matter. And I saw this for years at Fresno State. John Baxter, the special teams coach there, took a lot of pride in blocking kicks. And those guys knew they could get blocks. And they acted like, you know, this isn't just a punt, let's go through the motions, or a field goal, let's go through the motions. They were trying to make a difference in the game. Can that become infectious for a special teams unit if they can, if they get a little reward?
Yes, it can. And in fact, the Vikes last week returned a punt for a touchdown, John. And it lit up the sideline. And you saw belief. You saw confidence all of a sudden stamped on a unit, you know, on that punt return team. Like, all right, you know, we're the stars right now. But between that and blocks, you know, that can be a vital part of your team, of changing a game, whether it's field position. We make sure to take pride in that. Our punt team change the field. And we did it last week. It's just Northern Arizona happened to drive that 85 or 90 yards a couple times. But as far as standing on the sideline as a head coach and going, all right, you know, we drove it, boom, we punted it. They're on the 10-yard line, the 8-yard line. You're feeling good about yourself. We're doing this right. I'll just get a stop, one field position, score. But special teams, yes, you have. And I'm different because you can fair catch it, like a kickoff return. You can just flop it up and you got 75 yards to go in the fair catch deal. But when you're punting the ball and when you're trying to score points, those are the two we emphasize.
Bruce Barnum with us, Portland State coach. They're going on the road to Eastern Washington this week. What will that travel be like for you guys? I went to Harrisburg, PA, and Penn State. It was a long trip. Eastern Washington, not that long, but how will you do it? Is this a plane trip or a bus ride?
Bus. We practice here Thursday, John. We leave at high noon. Tortoise, burrito, bus, snacks on the bus, stop, per diem. There's a place that burnt down, and now they rebuilt it in Biggs Junction. They got little pizzas and tacos and going there and water out, back on the bus. We used to stop at a boat ramp and eat barbecue, but we changed it up, got changed up. We're on 5. Head up there, land. We're going to have some Frugal's hamburgers. Throw them at them for dinner, put them to bed, get them up the next day. 11 o'clock, we'll go to the red field. Their field's red. I just want them to see it. It's kind of odd. I don't want them to. Meetings that day, back at the hotel, curfew, meetings, pregame meal. The night before, we feast. That's the one time you're glad you're traveling because we feast. We don't throw the food like they do, you know, back in the day and at those dinners they have where you're chucking drumsticks at each other, but we do feast. And then we get up in the morning. It's a 4 o'clock, so we have to dink around in the morning a little bit. But breakfast is you don't have to be there a certain time. You just have to be there by 9:30 when you want. Pre-game meal, though, you have to be at. Then we drive out to Cheney, playing for the Dam Cup. There's probably 60 dams on the Columbia River.
The Dam Cup.
There's 4 big ones, and we're going to pass 3, I told them, on the way. You know, we'll jump at Bonneville right away, and we'll be at the Dallas right before the John Day. We're going to stop. That's your truck stop I talked to you about. We're not going to get to the Grand Coulee, but that's 4 big ones. Talk to them about that. And bring the Dam Cup back. We've had it for 3 years now, and it'll travel with us. It goes to meetings with us. It's the one trophy we play for.
I love that.
Portland State versus Eastern, so it's a thing of pride. So get up there Saturday now. I played with Sean and Seamus Riley. They're going to feed us some sandwiches, etc., post game and after practice. But then we get on that bus, and I don't think we're getting back to 2:30 or 3. We just went over that. That's not something to brag about. But
you know,
we'll be pulling in wee hours if anybody wants to join us.
It's a lot shorter ride if you come back with that W. So go get that W.
Exactly. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
All right, Coach. Thank you.
All right.
Bruce Barnum and the Vikings 0-5, looking for their first victory this season. I want you to leave it here. Coming up, a unique event happening in Portland. I didn't even know it was going on until I knew it was going on. I'll tell you about it next.